You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, guess who we get to talk about again today?
Is it Kobe?
No. We have a strict Kobe ban on this show. I don't know.
Not ban. I mean, he just doesn't come up a lot, I guess.
Yeah.
Because he's retired now.
Well, I actively avoid any Kobe stuff.
We are going to talk about the world's smallest Kobe stan.
There you go. That's Isaiah Thomas. And we are going to, he apparently is talking about his future with the Lakers. So that's going to take up the A block. And then we're going to get into some of the iTunes stuff. And as always, if you guys have any questions or topics that you guys want us to cover on this daily show, so we need all the content we can get, send it to the iTunes reviews in the form of a 5-star review. And today, for example, we have where we think Luke Walton ranks among the best or among the 30 coaches in the NBA, what the potential sale of the Pelicans means for Anthony Davis and potentially Boogie, and then Thomas Bryant's role next season, because it looks like he's not going to get too much of an opportunity this year, which is kind of.
So we are going to talk about a Bryant, though.
The better one.
Thomas better.
So let's, as always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at I Drink Out of a Porg. Let's go ahead and.
For those of you that aren't getting that, you know, that very limited, that joke that is only funny to Anthony because he's the only one that can see me on video right now. I'm drinking out of a porg mug.
It's just gross. I can't believe you would lop off a porg's head.
Yeah, his head's intact. It's just the top that's just.
All right.
Scalp.
Speaking of porgs, Isaiah Thomas was talking. Was asked about his.
He jumped up on the LA Times' figurative Millennium Falcon cockpit and just screeched that he's considering re-signing with the Lakers as Chewbacca, I guess it's like magic in this analogy, tried to like paw him off.
So he was asked by Tanya Ganguly about his future with the Lakers. And Harrison, do you have his response to those questions from Tanya, that report that she put up?
Yes, I do. I very much have those pulled up in front of me right here. As you can obviously see on my screen, they are right here where he says, I like it here. I like the situation I'm in. The system, coaching staff, organization's been great to me. If things work out, I would love to be here. You just never know. With free agency, you've got to keep your options open. I have no complaints since I've stepped foot and put a Laker uniform on. Now, it is worth noting, and I noted it in my article, that Thomas said, you know, like that he would also be open to going back to the Celtics. I think Isaiah Thomas would be open to any option that is good for Isaiah Thomas at this point.
If I were Isaiah Thomas, I would probably consider going back to the Celtics a little higher than coming back to the Lakers, just because I think that fan base would welcome him back, whereas I think this fan base is pretty much out on him. There was a lot of talk about, you know, what role he would be willing to take. I don't know where that was coming from.
Yeah, I didn't see. I mean, maybe I just can't read. I didn't see that in the report. I mean, she did say in her tweet, I believe, that like he'd be okay coming off the bench. But I didn't see that anywhere in the actual article. So, I mean, if she said it on Twitter, it's probably true. And it just maybe that quote didn't make the cut, or maybe I just can't read. But, I mean, if he's okay coming off the bench, I don't really see why you don't at least consider it for like if he's not that expensive. And I've been over all the reasons why on our past podcasts over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, that's
like
the
I
thing.
Just think that he brings things that the Lakers need. And I'm not saying that he should be their A option. I'm not saying he should be their plan B or C or D, but maybe their plan I or T.
P.
For Porg?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say that look, I think he kind of is starting to recognize the reality of the situation and what used to be a Brinks truck has turned into more of like a little Tykes truck with a lever that kids use to play in the sand. He needs to find somewhere that is either A, willing to give him the role that he thinks he needs, because he keeps on talking about, you know, if I was used like I was in Boston, I would be more useful to the Lakers as they're currently constituted. And
so much so that two separate bloggers yesterday, Darius Soriano and Kristen Rivas, both mm-hmm. wrote about, you know, why that may not be the case. And, yeah. you know, but he's been saying it's been enough of a talking point for him that two separate independent bloggers decided to both write about that yep. on an off day. So it's a thing. Like he does say it in every scrum.
And look, I think he's wrong. Like just flat out. I think if he was used the way that he was used in Boston, in LA, then I think you would see the Lakers offense take a legitimate hit and their entire team's ability to do anything take a legitimate hit. So we'll see where this goes. I think it's something to keep an eye on. At least it seems like he might be opening up to the various possibilities and the reality of his impending free agency. But personally, I'm out on the dude. Like, good luck elsewhere being a Milwaukee Buck or something. Or Orlando. He feels like either a New York Knick or...
telling you, he feels like a Sacramento King to me.
He was already a King. I think he burned that.
Yeah,
much.
But I'm coming home montage. Get Skylar Gray ready. Get the song queued up.
I was going to say either a New York Knick, a Brooklyn Net, or a Orlando Magic.
There's just like shots of him sitting on the bench as Boogie yells at him.
Yeah, exactly. All of those good things.
I'm coming home.
We're going to take a quick second, and when we come back, we're going to talk about where Luke Walton ranks among the 30 NBA coaches and where we think he might be going down the road. That here in a second. All right, Harrison, where do you guys – this comes from Malik44 on iTunes. Where do you guys rank Luke Walton as a coach out of the 30 NBA coaches, and where do you think he will rank down the road? So we'll start with right now.
So right now, I'm just like looking through the teams as we're talking about this. I mean, he's got to be, he's upper half, right?
I would probably go top 10.
You think top 10?
I would go top 10. I mean, like, he's not as good as the Spolstras, the Brad Stevens, the Popoviches, and the Kerrs, but could I see him fitting in that 6 to 10 range, that 5 to 10 range? I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how much you want to credit him for the Lakers' defensive improvement this year, because I do think that he should get a lot of credit for that. He got a young team to play defense, and they're currently, I believe... where are they in defensive efficiency right now? They're upper half in the league right now. Mm-hmm. And like, I think they're 12th. And so I think it kind of depends on how much credit you want to give him for that. But I also think like, I don't think that people would be out of bounds to rank like 10 coaches over him.
Oh, I mean, I think anytime you get into ranking coaches and ranking,
it's just tough because it's so dependent on roster too. Mm-hmm. And fans are never going to really have like even people who like watch a team closely are never going to have an accurate view of the coach. It's always going to be higher than they actually rank or lower than they actually rank, because like the fans either hate the guy and want him fired, or they think he's the greatest, you know, when they're new, they think he's the greatest thing and they like totally want to believe in him. And so like, I think Luke is upper half in the league, but I don't know that I'm willing to go top 10 yet. I don't know that we've seen enough.
I think anytime you're ranking coaches, especially, we don't know enough to actually rank them. We don't have full context as to what goes on behind the scenes. It's easier to rank players because you have statistical information to back up your claims. Whereas like with coaches, it's, well, are the Lakers better this year defensively because of scheme, or are they better because of player and personnel? Because like KCP
and like it can be both.
And Brooke Lopez are both are both better players than they had last year, right? That at those positions. And so, you know, you got to wonder like what the actual impact is there. But let's move on to the future. I think Luke Walton is capable of being a top five coach in the NBA.
Yeah, I think so in the future. He's shown enough in his like early time that I think at some point maybe he could be. I'm not willing to call it a guarantee. He's top five in my heart. He's a very nice guy. But I haven't had the greatest history with coaches. But like, you know,
who might you be referencing?
Huh?
Who are you referencing there?
Actually, not who you think I'm referencing.
Oh. Well, I wanted to say though, what makes me the most interested in Luke Walton's future is the way he's handled Randle this year. In that he has, I can't look at that Borg and not smile. But his Harrison's
Isaiah Thomas appears on the show.
But I the way he's kind of understood, okay, yeah, it was probably a mistake not to start Randle from the get go. He seems to be able to push the right buttons with Randle and get him to get going. And the other thing too is he at no point this year have you ever heard the rumblings of lack of communication that you heard with the previous coach. And now it's tough because like he's following the worst, not maybe, but the worst coach in the history of basketball, not just the NBA.
Easily the worst coach in the history of the Lakers.
Yes. And so
if not the worst coach in the history of basketball.
So I'm not exactly,
there's a good possibility that the man whose name rhymes with Schmeier and Schmott was that.
So Luke Walton has that kind of going for him. He has like a really low bar to clear. He's going to look better just by comparison. But I think his growth that you've seen from, as we talked about, the defense in just these last 2 years, and also the growth that you've seen from him this very season, like if he continues to grow like that, and now growth isn't linear just as it isn't with players, but if he continues to grow that way, and he continues to maintain the techniques that he has to get along with people and understand people, then I don't think it's that far off to think that he's capable of being a top five coach. Now, do I ever think that he'll be as good as Pop? No, so I'm not going to say that he's capable of being the best coach in the
Hater.
NBA.
Wow, Anthony hates Luke Walton.
Well,
can't believe it. I can't wait for the mentions tomorrow saying that you hate Luke when I was more pessimistic than you were.
Because I said he's not going to be as good as Pop. Or
yeah,
Phil.
I think there's a possibility he could be as good as Pop. I'm not willing to rule anything out.
Uh-huh. All right, let's go ahead and move on before my mentions take a serious swing. Do you think, this comes from friend of the show, then L33, do you think the Pelicans consider moving Anthony Davis this summer to avoid paying Boogie I don't know what an LT is. Deal. What would an LT deal
long term.
Oh, okay. Since they will be up for sale. If so, can the Lakers put up the best offer without including Lonzo? That second part is no. They would have to include Lonzo, either Lonzo or Ingram. And I would rather
to put up the best offer. To put up the best offer in a vacuum or to put up the actual best offer, because there are teams that could trump that, but would they necessarily do it? And is like I think the bigger question. And
I think
I don't know that
Davis.
They like, huh?
I think anybody does what they have to do.
I think for Anthony Davis, they probably would, but it's not a guarantee. So the Lakers, they probably can't put forward the best option. And I do think that with the Pelicans ownership situation, the way that it is now, with the passing of Tom Benson over, I believe, last weekend, and, you know, like thoughts and prayers to his family. You would think that given how unstable things were there, that, that they might be willing to move on from Davis that they would not be moving on from Davis because the franchise will be in a little bit of limbo. Like the general manager is not going to want to make a giant or probably not going to be empowered to make a giant move like that. If they're trying to try and sell the franchise.
Well, it depends on how they handle selling the franchise and what the buyers,
maybe they could have the NBA take ownership again work out a deal with the Lakers for Anthony Davis and then decide that Adam Silver could decide that in his power as owner, he is vetoing the deal, not as commissioner, and we can just do this again.
I want to fight
now,
you.
Now this is going to be fun.
I'm If you're lucky, we aren't recording in person.
And then the Lakers re-signed Dwight at the minimum.
Oh my God! All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and I'll explain. I'll explain why after I collect myself. Why I actually
so
think
you guys can't see him. He's so mad.
I'll explain why I think it's possible that Davis might be moved here as part of a future sale. I hate you so much. Like more, you. Anywho, let's go ahead and talk about Anthony Davis. So,
oh, I'm actually crying.
So they, it depends on what the buyers want, right? So if they want to buy something at basement level prices, and look, basement level prices for an NBA franchise right now is either at or near $1 billion, right? And now if they want to buy that with the foundation.
Wait,
of,
a billion? For the the Pelicans aren't getting $1 billion.
It's probably close.
No, they're not. Not the Pelicans.
The Bucks got $700 million.
I don't think that the Pelicans are getting $1 billion.
I think it'll be
close. I don't
close.
Think that that's a hot take at all. I think the Bucks were like were probably like a more desirable buy.
Ooh, why? How? What?
Because they have Giannis.
Well, the Pelicans have Davis.
Maybe not for long.
Well, so anywho, but an individual star, as valuable as they are in the NBA, the bigger things that would draw somebody to buying an NBA franchise are TV deal money, the ability to potentially move the team, and the ability now, because of how tanking is kind of welcomed in NBA fan bases, the ability to strip everything down, make the franchise as cheap as possible, and then build it up and net all that profit. And that's why I think
Did
Davis,
you suggest that Sam Hinkie is going to buy the Pelicans?
Well, I mean, even Adam Silver is admitting that the technique works, right? Like, I don't think anybody in Philadelphia is really that concerned about the future of their franchises.
I really wish that yesterday during that interview, Adam Silver would have said, you know, sometimes these teams, they just have to trust the process, and just like casually dropped it, just because I would have loved to see Philly Twitter just lose their minds.
Yeah, because he forced a Colangelo on them after the process.
Yeah.
I would say, though, that, yeah, I mean, if I was a billionaire and I was going to pay all this money for the Pelicans, and, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to go so far as to say that, you know, they should move out of New Orleans. I don't necessarily. I love the city and the market and the people and all that stuff. But I don't know if that city can support an NBA team at this point. Seattle is always sitting right there. Vancouver is always sitting right there. And so the ability to, if they could trade Anthony Davis before the sale, buy them for a little cheaper than you would hope, and then move them to a larger market and then build that team from the ground up, that's a ton of profits that you could possibly get. And I don't think you could get as much profit, or you could net as much profit, if Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins are signed to long-term big-money deals. That would be the thinking, I guess. I don't know how I lean, frankly.
They would probably still be considered assets. Mm-hmm. It's like better to have good players than not have good players.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, the league did trade Chris Paul while they were in the midst of a sale. So
and you know, you're talking about you know, you want good players because from a basketball standpoint you want good players. But this is a purely business decision. This would be nothing but business on the hand of whoever buys that team. And it would be really too bad to see New Orleans to lose the Pelicans and potentially lose Anthony Davis and lose Boogie. But that's just how these things kind of go sometimes. Regarding the Lakers offer, as we said earlier, either Lonzo or Ingram or both of them would probably have to be included to get Anthony Davis. He's an unreal basketball talent. He's just, in my opinion, the best young big man that the league has seen since like Hakeem. And you do what you can to get that kind of guy. Let's go
ahead.
Well,
other than our last subject, Thomas Bryant.
Exactly. Well done. So what do you think his role will be moving forward?
I think next year, I mean, so take this with a grain of salt, because I thought this year Zubats would go in and claim the primary backup big man role, and that did not really happen with any consistency. But I think, you know, in an ideal world for the Lakers, Thomas Bryant comes in and is the primary backup center next year, you know, outside of Julius Randle small ball minutes. He's the primary backup traditional center.
I can't exaggerate this, and Eric Pincus was making this point on Twitter yesterday. Davis has been arguably the best player in the G League.
You mean Bryant?
What'd I say?
You said Davis.
Freudian slip. Anthony Davis went down to the G League.
I don't even think it's arguable. Like, when you look at his statistics, they're insane in the G League. He has been so, so good. And I almost think that the Lakers are just, like, doing some type of misguided attempt to keep him eligible for Rookie of the Year next year by keeping him in the G League.
He's played this year, though. So
I know.
That's too bad.
But maybe they just think the league didn't notice. They only did it in garbage time. Nobody was watching. It's probably fine.
I would say, I don't know if I would go so far as to say that he'll be the primary backup center for next year. But could he be like the fourth center on the roster?
Easily.
Now this means Zubats is probably gone, because I don't think you need.
How dare you?
I don't think you need Zubats and Bryant on the same team. I just don't. One is an eyesore, big man from the past who hasn't developed and doesn't seem as if he will develop without a legitimate kick in the butt. And I just think, you know, you save the $1 million in cap space that you could by getting rid of Zubats this year. Just let him walk. You see what you got in Thomas Bryant next year, and you go from there. And in that scenario, he plays essentially the role that Zubats played this year, and you see if he can flourish in that role. And the other thing, too, is I'm really looking forward to see what he does and how he looks at Vegas Summer League, because he'll be a second-year player, and we were both...
He should be a world killer there this summer.
I would agree. We were both kind of... I was especially disappointed in watching Zubats in Summer League.
The Lakers would have to waive him to move on from him next year. His contract's already guaranteed.
Is he? I thought he was a
year after is a team option, I believe.
Okay, well then I would probably go with trading him, and you know, if I'm reading this right,
he is guaranteed for next year already. So
that doesn't seem right to me, but I might have bad information on my end. So, yeah, I don't see the point of having both those guys on the team next year, and you do whatever you can. Now, I don't think you'll be able to get anything for Zubats, but you do whatever you can to give Thomas Bryant as many minutes as you can possibly give him next season and moving forward. Like, I think if he works out...
Oh, I'm sorry. It is non-guaranteed for next year.
I told
you. So he has the contract. His year has already been picked up, but it's non-guaranteed.
Right.
So I misread that.
So he, Bryant, if he works out, he is a perfect big man for the NBA moving forward. Like
because he can shoot like people were hoping. He can already shoot like people were hoping, or better than people were hoping Zubats would be able to shoot at some point.
Yep, and he's tall and he's athletic and he has a crazy motor, right? And so, you know, we'll see what that turns into. Unfortunately, I think that means the end of the Zubats era. Do you again want to be sad and stuff on camera?
No, it's fine. Whatever.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and.
I don't even care. I don't even care. It's whatever.
You're not angry. You're disappointed. It sounds like.
No, I'm just. It's fine.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you for those of you, JTome80824. 80824, I'm guessing, is how you're supposed to say that. Thank you for your question about Thomas Bryant. Thank you, Then, for your question about Anthony Davis. Thank you, Malik, for your question about Luke Walton. Thank you, those of you who are leaving those reviews on iTunes. Quick request, I guess, when you leave your question or your review there, make it as short as possible, because we're trying to cut down the length of these shows. And we can't read through a huge, you know, thesis.
Well, and also, I mean, the other thing, too, is Anthony is not good at reading. And you guys have to take that into account. Anthony doesn't even read, like, my articles or you know, like actual good articles on the internet. He just doesn't read.
Yeah.
And so if you guys are asking him to read more than like two sentences, then it's just tough for him. He's just out of practice. So you got to understand, like, reading, not his specialty.
I wouldn't even, like, I don't want to spend time on trying to figure out my specialty. Have a good one, everybody. As always, find the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes and I don't read, Lakers Outsiders, where I write and I don't read. You can follow me on Twitter at I don't read LA. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at HM Fagan's stuff that Anthony might read because it's on Twitter and Anthony reads Twitter. That's a really long at, dude. You should probably cut that down a little
bit. You should probably say, I feel like this bit has just like completely lost steam.
People are enjoying it, oddly enough.
No, I think you are enjoying
it. By people, I mean me. I'm a person.
Maybe Dr. Jen.
Me, myself, and I are people.
Okay.
Have a good one, everybody.